The way I see it is about an hour ago, we all had some fantastic desserts, didn't we? I had probably the best bread pudding I've ever had in my entire life. And I figure we're all due for a sugar crash. So I'm hoping you can stay with me. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we've had a good day. You've blessed us with your sunshine. You've blessed us with your word. You've nourished our souls and our bodies, and we're just so grateful. And Lord, I just pray that you would use your word to speak into the lives of women. Lord, I know there's needs and there's hurts and there's concerns. I don't know them, but you do. And so I pray that in a very special way, you would speak individually to the ladies here tonight. And I pray this in your name. Amen. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Christ is enough. The first page of your handout, I keep coming back to this, the definition of enough is equal to what is needed. Whatever your need is, may be very personal, Christ is equal to that need. In every way. Paul presents a case in Colossians that Christ is enough because he is Lord. There was a line in that song that Crystal sang, "Sometimes I need to stop and remember you are God." I liked that. He is Lord. Christ is enough to strengthen your faith. We talked about that this morning. We need to go back to our salvation and remember what Christ did for us on the cross. That we are no longer the old person. We are buried. We are dead. And Christ now lives in us. He is a resurrected Christ, and we identify with him. But Paul goes on in Colossians, and he talks about the Christians being deceived into thinking that Christ is not enough. And I'm sure we've all been there. How many times do you begin to stew over something that's happened in your life? You get worried, you get afraid, you get concerned. And how long does it take you before you go to the Lord in prayer? He knew long before it happened it was going to happen. He's just waiting. And I, to my shame, many times, it takes me a long time before I get to where I should be. And that's a deception. Peter wrote that we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. That's incredible. Everything you need, you will find in Christ. My friend Janet wrote this, "I remember a time when we were very poor. We had three small children, and I was expecting my fourth. We had no money to pay for a midwife, let alone a hospital birth. My mother and father were both dead, and my two grandmothers, who had recently passed away. The grandpa that I loved more than anyone in my family was dying slowly of lung cancer and in a fatal state, and there was no money to visit. I was furious with God, and I fell into a very deep clinical depression. My husband and I had never wanted anything but to honor God with our lives and our decisions, and here everything was going wrong. I felt helpless and trapped. This was all God's fault, because he could have changed things if he'd wanted to. I decided it was time to take a vacation from God because of what he was doing to me. I didn't want to hear from him, and so I stopped reading my Bible, and I didn't want to talk to him, so I stopped praying." Very honest testimony. Circumstances resulted in my friend thinking God didn't care and that God was against her. But I'll tell you what, she was deceived. She was deceived into thinking that Christ was not enough. And this deception didn't happen overnight. It happened very slowly. And that's how deception happens. Slowly, she began to think that God just wasn't worth it. He was against her. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. We've read this many times. We're going to read it again. It's Paul's purpose. He says, "My purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now listen to this, verse 4. "I tell you this so that no one may be deceived by fine-sounding arguments." The definition for deceived is to be misled, to be tricked, betrayed, or lied to. Deceived. Advertising does this all the time. Quite a few years ago, my husband and I both felt we needed to lose a little weight, and we had heard from a friend about this really great diet called the Cambridge diet. Has anybody old like me ever heard of the Cambridge diet? Well, they advertise all you did for 2 weeks was eat delicious cookies. I mean, chocolate chip and peanut butter and raisin oatmeal. And they were disgusting. It was deceptive advertising. We ended up with a few boxes full of these, quote, delicious cookies. I suppose if you did eat them for 2 weeks, you'd lose a lot of weight because they did not taste good. But in our society, we're bombarded with advertising that deceives us, aren't we? This one is a good one. Nivea cream came out with a cream called Bio Slim Complex. It said, "If you regularly use this product, you will have significantly reduced your body size." If that was true, we'd all have a couple containers in our suitcases. I know that. Well, it cost Nivea $1.5 million to settle that lawsuit. A couple years ago, I remember watching the video in a shoe store. Skechers workout shoes said, "Shape up while you walk. These shoes will shape and tone your body by just wearing them." $45 million later, Skechers got out of that to us. Well, they didn't get out of it, they paid it. So we can be easily deceived just in our everyday life, let alone spiritually. But Colossians 2:4 says, Paul says, "I tell you this so that none of you will be deceived by fine-sounding arguments." Now that statement, fine-sounding arguments, it's the only time in the New Testament that statement is used. And so it's a very specific, very powerful little statement. It seems means persuasive speech without truth. Something that sounds reasonable. It's persuasive, it sounds like the truth, and it even sounds reasonable. I know many Christians that have gone off on little rabbit trails over things that it sounds good, sounds reasonable, but these arguments are usually Christ plus something else will make you spiritual. And Paul gives us three things that we are very easily deceived. Look at Colossians 2 and 8. He says, "See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human traditions." Human traditions are often rules. "And on basic principles rather than on Christ." Take you captive, he says. These rules are going to take you captive. It makes me think of the old days when the pirates would, you know, sneak through the misty fog on the ocean, and they'd sneak up to a vessel full of gold, and they would capture the treasure and take it away. And that's exactly what can happen to us. The truth can be taken away. We can be deceived. This was happening in Colossae through the Jews, who had their set of rules, the Gnostics, who had their way of thinking and things they were teaching people needed to do. But don't be deceived. We can so easily think we need to keep certain rules, depending on the church you're in or the culture, Christian culture you're in or what you're reading. If I do this, then I'm going to become spiritual. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to make you any closer to the Lord by doing something just because it's a rule. Paul makes that very clear. It's Christ, and in Christ alone will our spiritual growth will come. The second thing he says is in chapter 2, verse 16, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink in regard to religious festivals, new moon celebrations, or Sabbaths. These are just a shadow of things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in who? In Christ. Don't let anyone judge you. Our fear of being judged. For the Colossians, this was very real. Most scholars say that there were 613 laws that a good Jew needed to keep. How do you even remember 613? But there were laws about everything. There was laws about clothing. There was laws about food. There was laws about the Sabbath. There were even laws that women had to keep in regards to their period and what they did and didn't do. And now the Christians were free from that. They didn't need to worry about being judged by someone. Sometimes for us it's silly things that we find ourselves judging others or we feel we're being judged. Maybe it's the size of your Bible. I've fallen into that. I look across our congregation and I see a teen read. Well, I hope they're reading their Bible. Well, why don't they have their Bible, you know? That's not the point. There aren't rules and regulations. We shouldn't be afraid of people judging us. We're free. We're in Christ. I remember sitting in a seminar. I was just with a whole group of ladies, and we were at tables, and the lady beside me started to talk, and she looked, as she's talking, she looks over at my Bible and she says, well, I wish my Bible was marked up like her Bible. And I'm thinking, wow, that's, keep talking, you know. She must think I'm really spiritual. How my Bible is not marked up, is marked up, does not make me spiritual at all. So don't be deceived by keeping rules and thinking that's going to make you spiritual, or fearing being judged, because that's not going to make you spiritual. The third thing we find in verse 18. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great details about what he's seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head. It's another word for Christ, the head, from whom the whole body is supported, held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. The Colossians were being influenced, as we talked this afternoon, about by the Gnostic teachings, this mystical experience that you had to have, an out-of-body experience that would get you closer to some god and maybe give you a feeling that you were spiritual. Worship of angels. And believe it or not, there's people today. I have a neighbor across the street, and she is big time into angels. She wears a little angel pin because she thinks that will help keep her safer. She actually had an artist come in and paint one of her bedrooms, ceilings with angels and clouds. It's actually happening today, but people are putting their trust, it may not be that, in something other than Christ. They're being deceived, and they're wanting this emotional experience. My daughter, when she was in college, began to date. We felt he was a fine Christian guy. We were downtown Chicago with them, and I remember he would stop and he would share Christ with the street people. Amazing testimonies that he would give, and a real care for people. But over time, it turned out he had a very strong connection in the States with people that were connected with the airport church in Toronto. And over time, he began to say to my daughter, "You think things through too logically. You need to," and at one point he actually said to her, "You just need to close your Bible and just experience God." That the flags went up then. Because spirituality does not come from an experience. It comes from Christ and in Christ alone. We can so easily be deceived. Even coming to a retreat like this, you can feel like, boy, I'm going to go home and, boy, I've got my rules now. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to do this. And I'm feeling good spiritually. I've had a great experience. And you walk in the door and you have to change your first diaper and your kids are crying. All of a sudden those feelings just dissipate. Our spirituality is not based on feelings or on emotions. We know that as women. At least once a month we know it. So don't be deceived, because a deceived faith becomes a weak faith. We are sidetracked. In 2010, 16-year-old Abigail Sutherland attempted to become the youngest person to sail around the world in her ship called Wild Eyes. Sutherland was caught in a terrific storm in the Indian Ocean, and the mask on her sailboat snapped in two, and she lost all satellite communication, not just with the world, but with her parents, the ones she really wanted to be in contact with. She was all alone. She'd completely lost connection. 30-foot waves, I can't even imagine this. She set off emergency beacons, but for 3 days she was adrift in that storm, alone, with no connection with the outside world at all. And finally, a French fishing boat saw the beacons and picked her up. If we lose connection with Christ, our faith becomes weak. Look at verse 19. The person who has done the things we've just talked about and has lost connection, he says he has lost connection with the head. He's putting his trust in rules. He's concerned about what people are thinking about him, his or she, and she is also wanting emotional experiences. I'm not feeling great today, so I must not be close to God. I don't know God. I need to feel excited. Those are things to watch out for. It's lost connection with the head, which is Christ. God causes spiritual growth when we stay connected to him. When my son was about 9 years old, we lived in Orillia, and one of the farmers in our church offered us a turkey for Thanksgiving. And so we thought, well, that's really gracious. That's great. My son and my husband went out to get the turkey. And when we got to Brian's farm, he said, pick whichever one you want. And so, I mean, we are not farmers, okay? And so my husband said, okay, Jason, you catch the turkey and I'll cut its head off. And so to this day, my son does not like turkey. It's not changed for many years. So he caught the turkey, and my husband very reluctantly cut the head off. And you know, that's the best part. The worst part is what comes next. The turkey running around without a head, blood spurting, and banging into things. I mean, that is a graphic illustration, but that's what it says here. We have lost connection with our head when we are deceived. And do you ever feel in your life like you're just running around with like a turkey with its head cut off? I mean, I do. How quickly do we come to the person that we should come to? Christ, he is enough. We need to stay connected by being in the Word of God. There is no shortcut. I wish I could tell you there was. There is not. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in communion with God. That's the second thing. Those are the two things. The third thing is we need to be in communion with other Christians and committed to a Christian fellowship where that's our family. And those three things together, you've heard the phrase, a three-strand cord can't easily be broken. That brings strong faith into a woman's life. You remember my friend Janet. She was deceived over time into thinking that God was not enough, and she took a vacation from God. She continues to write, "God found ways to touch me. A sentence in a mystery book would jump out at me as surely as a verse would do. A line from a secular song would strike me with great force, as if it were meant just for me. I'd overheard part of a conversation or something would come in the mail. Perhaps it would be a flower I'd see on a walk that would remind me of God's goodness. Over and over, in small but unexpected ways, I felt God saying, 'I know you're hurting. I'm here. I love you. It's okay. I'm not in a hurry. You can trust me.' I came to call those moments my diamonds in the mud. They are God's little nuggets of hope when he knows we are walking in dark valleys. They are his love notes to our hurting hearts. They are promises of his presence when he chooses not to change our painful circumstances. Eventually, these things did pass, and I moved back into the light. But I'll never forget those diamonds in the mud, and I watch for them now when things look difficult." Have you been deceived? Have you fallen into the thinking that something is going to make you spiritual, closer to God, other than Christ, and Christ alone? Have you been keeping rules, thinking that your faith is going to go stronger? Are you afraid of other Christians judging you, so it kind of controls your behavior, making you and keeping you from growing strong in your faith? Or maybe you have thought that your faith depends on an emotional feeling or an experience to grow you strong. Paul is saying here, don't be deceived. Christ is enough. And we're going to sing the song, and Melody is going to come up here. And as she's coming up, I'm just going to read, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter," listen to this line, "my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand." So why don't we stand while we sing this and sing it as a prayer to the Lord.